howdy, partner. Welcome to Chimpyowns, to Deadlands Reloaded.
So there's other rooms.
One door to the right, two doors to the left.
Take the one to the right.
Okay, and what about Reverend Alan and Jebediah?
Is this where wind died down, or is it still going?
Yeah, as you all sort of push your way into the building, the things, it doesn't so much slow things, it just stops dead. The items that were flying around, they just drop to the floor.
Bare fall.
Almost like someone had just let go of them.
So which way has Wolf gone?
Gone to the door to the right.
Yeah, he's gone. Going to the right.
So can you two just draw me a card to see who opens which door? So Jebediah, you are first. You push open the door. Again, it's not locked. I mean, this is an internal door. There's no lock on it. Yeah, you push it open. You see what is a... obviously meant to be, obviously is an office, probably for whoever the schoolmaster or mom was going to be here. There's a well-appointed desk. Doesn't look like it's ever been used. Several built-in cupboards on the walls. A crate with, what you can clearly see has been opened and contains some basic school materials. You know, it looks like almost like a pack. School here. And it's obviously been opened to check what's in it, but it's obviously never been unpacked or anything. And the whole room has a slight covering of, combination of dust and grime. And it's just sort of the stuff that would have probably settled over of it being unattended for a few months.
But nothing else of note?
Not just by peeking in, no.
And no other doors leading out of this room?
No, it looks like, as I say, it's quite a small building, and you would think in a town this size, they probably weren't expecting that many children. It was probably designed to be a school with, one teacher. Like a hedge school.
Okay.
Wolf, you push open your door, again, unlocked, into what was obviously meant to be the classroom. You see there's a room with 15 desks, these sort of large wooden desks with, lift-up lids and, built-on seats, lined, ready to go. One desk at the far end with the chalkboard. Again, this room looks like it's probably never even been sat in. In fact, you see on the desk at the front there is a bundle of posters and things that have been unwrapped. Obviously, to put up on the walls, you see what you think is probably, these fucking Europeans' strange symbols for teaching these sciencey things that they do. But it looks like someone's unwrapped them to check them, but has never actually placed them there.
Mm.
But you can't be surprised, Wolf. Is
no,
that
I can
right?
be. Yeah, I've got. I get plus two in
you get plus
situations.
Right, can you roll me a notice, please? I'm not sure the right skill for this, so notice will do me fine.
So, seven.
Seven, so you're not surprised. As as you look in, you look at these things, maybe out of curiosity, wondering, what these symbols on these bloody things are. And by symbols, I don't mean writing them, probably basic physics or whatever. A box of an industrial-sized classroom box of pencils just rips open, and the pencils fly into the air, spread out, and then shoot across the room like so many fucking arrows hurled at you. What is your toughness?
Ooh.
As these pencils come flying across at you?
Five.
Most of them, sort of missing, but a few do find gaps, and you are shaken, unless you want to spend a penny to not be shaken.
Yes, I do.
And Jebediah probably doesn't see it, but probably hears it, because I imagine Wolf probably exclaims in surprise as someone hurls, or something hurls 30 sharpened pencils across the room at him. And Reverend Allen, you would see what Mrs. Wolf comes flying out the door. Yeah, you see these pencils, most of them shatter against the, you know, the wooden walls behind him, but a few of them literally bury themselves into the wall, maybe 2 or 3 inches. You again hear tinkling laughter of a child.
Where?
Roll me a notice.
5.
Yeah, it's definitely in the room. Not quite sure where. You think the end where the desk is, but it seems to echo and bounce around.
Look,
it's
under the desks.
Right, so to Wolf, he gets 6 of clubs, and to Jebediah, he gets a queen of hearts, and whatever the hell this is, gets a 5 of clubs. So Jebediah is the fastest one. You hear this commotion behind you. You hear, yes, well, it's like someone's throwing a box of pencils across the room.
In that case, I will head into that room and see what I can see.
Just roll me a notice roll as you sort of slip into the room past Wolf, who's currently, you know, sort of just dropping to all fours to look under the desks. And
notice 6.
You see what Wolf saw. Your classroom. It's new, newly appointed. Looks like it's never been used. Obviously, there's pencils all around the doorway now. But apart from that, you can't see or hear anything. Certainly nothing that you triggers any of your senses.
I'll move into the room. And is it evident where the pencils are? They sort of erupted out of a box, did they?
Yeah, you see on the desk. Yeah, because it's fucking sprayed everywhere. There seems to be bits of cardboard on and around the desk where the box has sort of exploded outwards.
So I'll move over to that box.
So next would be
me.
Roll me perception if you're just looking around.
I was looking under the desks. Look, a wild 10.
You look under the desks, and at first you see nothing, but then, under the teacher's desk, something catches your eye. You see a little girl, and she seems to have, like, you know, Shirley Temple-like curls, you know, some really tight blonde curls, a little flowery dress on, and she matches eyes with you, and she smiles a warm way, and the smile just keeps growing and growing across her face.
Slap her.
Until, you know, she's across the room, remember? And as her mouth opens and huge fang-like teeth elongate, what are
attacking
you doing?
It.
So, yeah, you're going to have to sort of leap across the room to do that. You're going to get -2 if you're going to want to attack it.
Okay.
Because normally you get to move an axe, but I think probably trying to fuck, you're getting down and looking around for it as well.
Oh.
I think. As, yeah, you know, what initially appears quite a cute, innocent child, it's obviously its face is turning into something not quite so normal.
Oh, 4.
And what does your axe, your tomahawk, give you?
It gives me an extra dice for damage.
And you rolled a 4.
And you said I got -2, so...
So yeah, you swing at it, but you're trying to get at it as quickly
smash
as you can.
The table, by the way.
Unfortunately, you're trying to swing under the table, and you just clip your tomahawk on one leg. I think for the purposes of this and going forward, we're going to refer to your tomahawk as being not only getting the extra D6, but it is effectively a magical item. Okay. Which does make a difference. Even if it doesn't do anything damage, just the fact that it's magical does make a difference. And yeah, it recoils as it sees your tomahawk. You know, it's just the malicious glee on its face is frightening. But then when its tomahawk your tomahawk comes into its line of view, sort of reels back and then rears up. It's again, you know, it's a small child, it's only little. As it lunges forward at you, it doesn't attack you Its eyes become huge black pits of darkness. Its teeth and its maw look like the gateway to fucking hell. Please roll me a guts roll. And this is at neg 2.
I got 3, but you saying it's neg 2. Do I add my grit to it?
Yeah, so that would be a full
neg 2.
Again, I'd probably need to rate this up, but you, unless you spend a penny, you're definitely shaken. As this horror appears in front of you. This is the sort of terror that is so unimaginable that your mind can hardly, you know,
spend a penny.
Okay, so you are not shaken. You can still act on the next round. And finally, it's Reverend Allen, I think.
Okay, so I'm going to walk into the room and then I am going to start casting protection.
Nice.
Yeah, it only protects me.
Still.
Yeah. So, yes, okay. So, I need to do a spirit roll to get it off. So, I make it. So, yeah, I am going to present my crucifix. And start saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, our God and Lord, strengthened by the intercession of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, Mother of God, and start, like, doing an exorcism.
Okay, I'm sorry, what does this give you?
So it's concentration. The blessed or shaman who does nothing but concentrate on his faith, it's very difficult for creatures of darkness to oppose. So they gain a +2 to their faith roll when they present this symbol. While using this power, the individual may take no further action. A supernatural creature who wants to directly attack a character using protection must first win an opposed test of its spirit target.
So yeah, you don't so much see what Wolf has seen because it's under the desk and he's... But you feel the waves of evil flood across the room as we go into a new round. So next is Reverend Allen with a 10 of hearts. Next is Wolf with a 2 of spades. And last is Jebediah with a jack of clubs. So that puts Jebediah first. Jebediah, I don't think you've seen this thing yet because it's still hidden under the teacher's desk. But again, much like Reverend Allen, you don't need, I think, Blessed to feel the waves of fucking corruption spreading across the room from this thing. And this is a good point, I guess, to say, you know, you're all novice characters. You know. You've probably heard tales of all sorts of horrible things. You're probably similar to most of the general public at this stage, that they're just fucking old wives' tales told around campfires to scare people. Wolf would be more invested, I think, than the average European in understanding that there is another realm, if you like, where good and evil spirits can live. Same with Reverend Allen, because not only is he a preacher, he also has the blessed edge, which means he does understand that he can pull on the power of God, and therefore the power of evil is real. Jebediah, not so much so.
No, not at all.
But that's what Guts is for. So first is Jebediah Crook, who does not quite understand what is going off, but does understand that he feels waves of almost blinding terror coming from somewhere behind that desk.
His bowels are turning to water.
And presumably, have I seen Wolf's reaction? He's kind of headed...
Wolf's definitely trying to hit something behind there, and Reverend Allen, who he realises is a real priest, is praying quite loudly. And as wild cards, you would all understand these things. You would have some concept that they exist, or there's a possibility of them existing. You're not complete rubes, but you know, you certainly haven't experienced anything like this firsthand, any of you. Yeah.
Well, I'll try and move to a point where I can, you know, see the other side of the desk.
There. Yeah, so I'm not going to draw the room because it's not very big. It's like 30 foot long. It's about 15 feet wide. It's just like two rows of desks with the teacher's desk at one end, the blackboard, and the doors in about the middle. So, yeah, you can slide along that wall where the door is and certainly have a clear view behind the desk and still be able to take an action, yeah.
Well, I'll try and get a view then and see what I see.
So, yeah, you slide down. Can you make me a guts roll, please? Crouched under the desk, you know, little legs and arms and, you know, sort of little buckled shoes and beautiful floral, you know, dress of a small child. But then as it turns its head to look at you and its blonde, tight curls fall away from its face, the horrific thing staring at you tries to turn your, yeah, your bowels to jelly.
I got 2 plus 1, yeah.
You see this horror. You stop falling into these black pits of its eyes. You will be shaken and run next round unless you blur Benny to not do that.
Okay. In that case, I will blow a Benny. I can use a white to avoid shaking.
You can indeed, yes.
In that case, I will do that.
Good call. So who would be next? So that was Jebediah, then it... still behind the desk at this stage. So I guess you're sort of holding your action, are you? I'm going to assume we can do that. And then it's it. So you see, you all see now, and Reverend Aaron, you made your guts in advance. So you see, like, two small, childish hands, you know, milky white, perfect skin, you know, appear over the edge of the desk. And then a mop of, you know, these tight, cute blonde locks. And as it slowly, you know, its forehead and then its black eyes and its grinning, sinister smile with, you know, these sort of sharp, hook-like teeth come above the desk and it crawls, pulls itself effortlessly onto the desk. Reverend Allen, I think, you know, seeing as you're holding, if you want to do something as it gets ready, and you hear it, you know, laugh with this tinkling, childish laughter. So it looks you straight in the eye, Wolf, and it suddenly twists its head 270 to look at Jebediah, you know, twisting its head the wrong way around to sort of spin round, look at him, and then just leaps to the edge of the desk, you know, snarls at Jebediah. I need another guts roll from Jebediah.
So that is 3.
Again, you feel the urge to not only fill your pants, but also to run from the room. You can spend a Benny to resist that if you so wish, or you can just run, whichever you
prefer. I'll spend a Benny.
And then it is...
me. Attacking.
This thing's literally on the desk right in front of you now.
7.
So you try and strike it with your tomahawk. Just roll your damage. So it blows one of its fate chips, so it's not shaken, but you feel your tomahawk actually bite into this thing. And you realise, you know, and see through its form, the surface of the desk, its form is, it's not solid. It's solid enough to be able to see and see detail, but it's clearly not completely substantial. But your tomahawk, it manages to actually clap it on the side of the head, and it shakes its head for a second, shaking off the blow.
Keep my sword!
Vanishes.
Bastard.
And I think we'll call it the
bastard
night for that. Hi, I just wanted to drop in and apologise for the shortness of the episode, but hopefully the cliffhanger will make it obvious why it was a little bit shorter. I'd also like to say thank you to the patrons for supporting us both financially and, I guess, psychologically in some ways. It really does help. Just knowing people are willing to support us in that way makes a massive difference to me personally. Helps keep my enthusiasm up, so that's great. We do owe a couple of patrons shout-outs, but I'm running a bit short on time, so apologies, but again, I'll delay that and hopefully do it in the next episode or two. And last but not least, we signed up for the Savage World Media Network recently. That's been accepted. not sure what that's going to mean to us or to Pinnacle Entertainments. But hopefully it will lead to good things. If nothing else, we should get to rub virtual shoulders with some of our peers, which will be nice. So again, thank you very much. Thank you for listening and hope to see you soon. Bye.